best for when we're done. Then where you gonna run to? We're gonna run, but one fine day all our problems will be solved. So bang, 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 we shoot him down. Anything, oh, to make him think he's happy, and he won't ever come for us. He won't ever come, but if he does, and if there's no one else around, bang, 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 we shoot him down. Neighbors, brothers, sisters, and friends, we'll consider it a favor. We'll consider justice done. But if he comes for you or me, and we can place a gun in his hand, bang, 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 we shoot him dead. What you going to do? Go and give the boy a gun. Now there ain't no place to run to. Ain't no place to run. Now we'll all be at his mercy. He decides to hunt us down. Cause there ain't no place to run to. Ain't no place to run. He wants the chances that you took from him. Oh, and nothing that you own. Then there'll be no place to run to. There'll be no place to run. And if he finds himself to be a reflection of us all, bang, 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 he'll shoot us down. Before you can raise your eyes to read the writing on the wall, bang, 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 it shoots you down. Before you can bridge the gulf between and embrace him in your arms, bang, 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 it shoots you down.
I've been romanced and dined and danced, crazy nights and wild times, but life has lost its mystery. Love is blind and cannot find. And shadows
Good morning and welcome to Something About the Women. It's 11:07, almost 8, here at 91.5 WMFO Medford. It's a beautiful fall day. Thanks for tuning in. Got a great show for you today, I hope. Really looking forward in about 22 minutes to talking with Jen Van Landingham. She is the author of an online community novel. And if you don't know what that is, she will explain. But her project online is called Sentient, and it's very cool. And you can be involved. So I'll be talking with her at 11:30 as we talk about season 2 of this online community novel. I finally sat down and started reading it, and I can't believe I've neglected it this long. Jen is a good friend of mine, and you know, I know her from other things, but this is a really amazing project, and I want her to tell you all about it. So that'll be coming up at 11:30. We just heard from Bonnie Raitt, going back to 1975. We heard I'm Blown Away from Home Plate. And Tracy Chapman started us off with Bang, Bang, Bang. That's going back to her album, Matters of the Heart. So I'm Sue, and I am here either Jane or myself are here every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Something About the Women, playing all different kinds of music by women artists. But we're actually in the process of training some new people. And I've got Liz in the studio with me today. She's going to be learning the ropes. And we've got some other DJs who are in the training process right now. So our roster will be expanding, and it's pretty exciting. So stay tuned for more fun stuff that involves new people, new perspectives on music, new voices, etc. So I'm taking a chance here by I'm trying something new in terms of my playlist. So let's hope this works. And this is an artist that I discovered recently. Her name is Tracy K. She's got a new album coming out, but I don't have it yet. So we're gonna hear something from an earlier album by Tracy K here on Something About the Women.
Here it comes. my man, and if he don't come, call on the man, and he don't wanna come. No doctor, no hot spring, gonna help that boy none. He don't talk so nice. Gets unruly, don't talk so nice. Got my 3220, then I cut him down to size. I said, oh, Tommy child, where you stayed last night? Tell me, boy, where you stayed last night? When you come home this morning, your shoes wouldn't put on right. Couldn't even pull up your own boots. Is packing way too light. A 38 special, still packing too light. Got my 3220, and I cut them down to size. I said, oh, tell me, child, where you stayed last night? Tell me, boy, where you stayed last night? Cause you come home this morning, your clothes wouldn't put on right. You couldn't even pull up your own pants.
Oh boy. Playing a PSA. It's not playing, so I'm going to talk instead. You just heard Big Mama Thornton doing the Down Home Shakedown. We actually heard a couple of tracks from this great compilation called Blues Harp Women. You know, I've been known to play some harmonica on the show, so that was some of it. Before that, we heard Lynn Ann Hyde from the same compilation, the 3220 Blues, and we heard Tracy Kay doing Canned Heat, title track to that album. She's got a new one coming out. I will play something from that next week. Our emails crossed in the mail, and therefore I did not get a new track in time to play it on the show. I did, however, get a chance to fix this problem that we were having just now so that you can learn about our donations drive. It's important, folks. 1 second.
The WMFO annual drive is in effect. We're looking to raise $5,000 to continue to keep your freeform station playing your favorite music. WMFO is a nonprofit station with staff, students, and community members who volunteer their time to bring you their favorite music and shows. We need your support to keep it all running, so donate now by logging on to donate.wmfo.org. That's donate.wmfo.org. Or mail a check payable to Trustees of Tufts College. Send it to WMFO, P.O. Box 65, Medford, Massachusetts, 02155. Thank you for your support from all of us here at your freeform station, 91.5 WMFO.
That's right. We don't ask for money often, but we do like to keep our state-of-the-art studio state-of-the-art. So if you can chip in a couple of bucks, please do so. Donate. WMFO.org. Thank you so much. We'll try not to beat you over the head with it. So we're about 5.5 minutes away from the interview with Jen Van Landingham. So here we go. We'll keep playing the music till she calls in. This is a little bit of Maria Muldaur.
In the magnolia trees, oh, I need to go down to the delta and let that sweet music wash over my soul. You can't be lonesome once you get to know some. Sang me the sweet lullaby. a sidewalk cafe with the sun shining bright. And I know a place where the street players play from morning till night. In every parish, the people all cherish their easy going days. I'm gonna spend a little time with an old love of mine down Abbeville way. Louisiana love call, calling to me. The birds on the bayou sang a sweet melody. Louisiana love song sang it to me, sang me the sweet
Mississippi. All right, well, that was some Maria Muldaur, and I am on the line with Jen Van Landingham. Are you there?
I am here.
Ah, technology is so great. I'm crying a little. Welcome.
Thank you for having me again.
Sure. It's all very exciting. I want you to, for those of you who didn't hear, for those people who didn't hear our interview last year when Sentience started, can you sort of fill us in? And by the way, this is Jen Van Landingham, who's the author of Sentient. And if you can explain what it is, and then we can get into the nuts and bolts.
Great. Yeah, so basically what it is it's what's called a community novel experience. And it's kind of like a create-your-own-adventure story for adults.
Mm-hmm.
And if you kind of think of a TV show that's your favorite and thinking about at the end of the TV show, if you had two options to decide on what you wanted to happen next and you kind of got to help direct the way the show was going, that's what this is. It's kind of like novel writing in real time where we provide the participants an opportunity to direct where and what happens with the characters and the story, and then the end result will be a paperback form of a novel or perhaps a trilogy. And so it's set up in seasons, like seasons of a TV show, and we are in our second season. And so basically, every week we post a episode to our website and also to our Patreon account, which is kind of like a crowdsourcing, crowdfunding website. And then people get to vote on what happens next. And throughout the season, they get to see the results of their votes. and a majority vote always wins. So it's a community of people who are participating in the voting process rather than just an individual.
That's so cool. So do you wait until the results of the voting to write the next chapter?
I do not. I actually write everything in advance. So we take, what I do is I take the summer off. So we've been off season for 6 months. Our season finale of season one ended back in March. And our first episode of season two just aired this previous Thursday on the 22nd. And all in between that time, I've been writing. And so what I do is, since we provide two options for every episode, oftentimes what happens is I'm writing two options, but sometimes if they are divergent enough, I will be writing maybe four options.
Right.
Oftentimes, and then I have an editor who will edit all of those options. And what we do is, on our crowdfunding website, we have a reward option at $10 a month where our participants who pay $10 a month can get all of the alternate episodes and read those. So if they voted on something that ended up not being chosen, they can still read that episode if they want to.
That's very cool. So I was saying on the air earlier, I finally sat down, and started reading, and now I'm hooked. So, I apologize because I probably should have been reading them sooner. I've been knowing about them for a while, but I started from the beginning, and I've read like I think the first four or five episodes, and now I'm hooked.
Oh, wow.
So,
Okay.
So my question is, I'd fill in people about what the subject matter is, because it's actually really timely, and I feel like what you're writing about is the phrase, the personal is political comes to mind, and this is really serious stuff. So if you could sort of set the stage of what this story is about.
So basically what it's about is it's dystopian fiction, science fiction, maybe a little bit of magical realism in there, and it takes place 30 years from now in the United States of America, and it's about this young girl who is 17 at the start of the story, who has an ability to communicate with animals, and as a result, it sends her on this journey to try to take down a food industry that has essentially destroyed the country. And a lot of what is happening in the story, I've heard a lot of readers say they feel is happening or could be happening right now as we speak. So it's a lot of worst case scenario of what could happen in our country if there were no animal rights activists. So it's very much about factory farming, about what happens when industrialized food, when that system has as much power as it has, and what that can result in and how that can affect and harm not only an individual but an entire country. So it has some characters in it that are animal characters that are living on factory farms, and those animal characters will begin to be introduced in this season too. And also a series of characters, some of whom had previously been animal rights activists, but as a result of some things that happened, according to the story, what is called ecoterrorism laws, which are laws that actually exist in the here and now, and affect many individuals who are attempting to shed light on cruelty to animals in the food system, are laws that become strong enough in the story version, in the fictional world, to cause many, many, many millions of animal rights activists to disappear. And as a result, this is kind of what the country looks like at the onset of the story. And so it's about this young woman who basically becomes kind of the protagonist, in the sense that because she can communicate with animals, what does that mean and what will happen as a result? She's kind of the, for lack of a better word, the hero of the story.
Yeah.
giving anything else away.
It seems really timely to me. I mean, just in what I've read so far, and then, you know, like you listen to the news where Bayer wants to buy Monsanto, right? So they're like, aren't they like the largest producer of like antibiotics and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
They want to buy Monsanto, which is already sort of poisoning our food. So when you started writing about this, it's almost like you have a little bit of foresight into, you know, like maybe you're a little bit psychic, but it's like it's scary. It's like it's happening.
I hope not too,
but it's happening, right?
Yeah, and I can't tell you how many times I watch the news and then I think of what I know I'm going to be writing or what I've already written, and I've gone, oh, geez.
Yeah.
That's stuff that, you know, I've kind of written into the story that I didn't know was starting to happen. And then, you know, in the story, things have gotten so bad, mostly because of one of the things that happens in the background of the story is that there's a terrorist attack on U.S. soil, a chemical attack that, as a result, causes the soil to be unusable and also gets into the water system. And so what happens is, as a result, the industry is then able to privatize water. And so water is no longer available. You know, you can't walk down the street and find a water fountain and just drink water. You can't do that anymore. You have to pay for water. So it creates all kinds of problems, especially for lower income individuals who are always the ones that suffer the most whenever things start to become privatized and whenever we have a system where anything is being capitalized on, it's the poor that tend to suffer the most. And so that's in the story a little bit as well.
It makes me think of Flint, Michigan.
Yes.
You know, it's like, you know, they wanted to save money, so they changed the water supply, and it's the poor people who couldn't afford to go and get bottled water.
Nope.
Yeah, so I feel like you've got your finger on the pulse in almost a creepy way that you know what's going to happen, which makes it all the more important. I know, it makes it all the more important, I think, that people read this story and follow along, because, you know, I think that if you kind of consider these issues now, maybe we can prevent it from happening. I'm also fascinated by your business model, and I wanted you to talk about that a little bit, because you really sort of you put yourself out there and you said, look, I'm gonna start writing full time, right? And how do you support yourself that way? So if you could talk a little bit about how the business model of Sentient works, that would be great.
Yeah, and just to clarify, I'm still in the process of working towards becoming a full-time writer. I think that's every writer's dream, and it has been mine since I was 7. And there was always the belief system that I wasn't going to be able to make money as a writer. That was instilled in me, you know, mostly from society, that being a creative person, you can't make money doing that. And so I part-time now am still in social work, which, you know, I guess in one way I was lucky to find a career where I was helping people that I still liked and I still appreciate. And so what I do is I work part-time now as a social worker to pay some bills. And then what we do is the hope is that through our Patreon site and through getting people involved and the subscription, in order for people to continue voting and continue participating, is as affordable as $2 a month. And so I don't even know if you can buy a cup of coffee for $2 a month these days.
$2 a month, not even $2 a day.
No, exactly. But I mean, I don't even know if one cup is $2 anymore. And so our hope is that if everyone were to get involved at just that level, because we do support an artist who does the illustrations, which are really amazing. It's a local guy named Daryl Wilson. And also our editor and our marketer, we do a lot of marketing. And so different kinds of fundraising activities. We're hoping to have a t-shirt sale here soon, our first one. get some sentient t-shirts out there. And so the Patreon site and eventually an Indiegogo campaign for our very first volume, because what will happen is that season one will be transitioned into what's called a serial novel, which these are kind of like what Charles Dickens originally created, that are very short, brief, little books just with episodes inside of them. And each episode doesn't necessarily have a rising action, a climax, and a falling action, and then an end. It's like episodes of a TV show, which is kind of how episodes of TV shows came about, is this whole concept of at the end of the episode, you have a cliffhanger, and then you got to read the next episode to kind of see what happens next. And so we will have those in little paperback formats, and hopefully volume one out by the end of 2017, if not early 2018, and also be self-publishing those and selling those. So that is pretty much the business model, is getting people involved to want to put a little bit of money into our project, because it is very grassroots and it is independent and will be published, self-published, and is a project that involves community. So so far, it's not quite paying the bills yet, and maybe one day it will. And well, if I can pay the bills as a social worker and continue to do this project, I think that's what's really more important.
That's great. I think it's really a neat idea. I like the crowdsourcing, and also not just crowdsourcing for funding, but for the actual, like, the direction of the story. I think that's all really brilliant, and building community while also making art is, a rare thing. So I think it's great. And you mentioned the illustrator, which is the art is really neat. I mean, if you like graphic novels and, when you read a chapter and then you look at the image, it really does capture what the chapter is about, and I think it's great that you have original art in these stories. Really makes it come alive.
Yeah, I really love, I mean, the artist is fantastic, and I also agree that though writing does serve to create an illustration for people when they read it, it is neat to have a perspective, because the artist, I only give him just a little paragraph or a couple sentences or maybe an excerpt from the writing, and then he just creates what he creates, and I give him very little direction, and so in that way he's more of a partner in a sense.
Right.
And so the art that he does, the interpretation that he provides, especially for art that people have not seen yet, that is in season two and that's coming, what I've seen is it's very dramatic. Some of it is, I think, going to be not easy always to look at because of the subject matter that we are bringing to light, the issue of animals who are surviving life on factory farms. And so as a result of that, the images aren't always going to be pretty.
Right. Does he have to do two different illustrations based on, and just in case the story goes one way or another?
Yeah, that's been tricky. He has not. And so what I do, luckily what we try to do with a lot of the art is keep it abstract at times.
Yeah.
And so it leaves it open for interpretation, and the episodes have been, there tends to be, with each option, something that is similar in both options.
Right.
Where characters might be interacting and having an argument, they might be saying different things, or there might be a different result from the argument, depending on what people vote, but we might be able to have the artist do a rendering of the argument itself. And so in that way, it really doesn't matter which episode is chosen, because that art will still fit. So it'll be interesting as we move forward, because I think the options will become more divergent. I think they will change in the future, in that we will start having participants decide on character reactions versus what happens, in this last episode, it was, either they end up at a factory farm and a drone finds them, or they end up in the wilderness and they're surrounded by a pack of wolves. That's some very external things that happen. But in the future, as characters start to develop, then people will be voting on a character deciding this versus deciding that, or reacting this way instead of reacting that way. So in a lot of ways, people will be developing the characters with me. So it's cool.
It's very cool. I love the concept, and having started to read it, I really care about these characters as well. So I'm really excited to keep reading. Throw some URLs at us so people can get involved. I'd really love for some of our listeners to check this out and become part of that community.
Absolutely. Our website is www.sentientexperience.com. That's all lowercase. And we can also be found on Facebook at Sentient Story. And we can also be found on Twitter at Sentient Writer. And we can also be found on Instagram as Sentient Experience. And then finally, least the last but not least and perhaps most important, which is the site where people can actually continue to read and vote and provide some financial support is our Patreon site. So what that is that's www.patreon.com/sentient. And Patreon is spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N.
And I posted a link to that page, to that site, on the Something About the Women radio show page on Facebook, so folks can check that
out
as well. Great. Well, Jen, it's always great to talk with you. Full disclosure, Jen and I are friends in real life,
yes.
But we live at a distance and we don't
wonderful
get to see
friend.
Each other very often. But I think this is a great project and I'm always happy to support it. And
thank you.
I wish you the best of luck. Folks, check it out. Sentientexperience.com. Did I get that right?
You got it.
All right. So Jen Van Landingham,
thank you so much.
And I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, how awesome was that? She's amazing. So I hope that you'll all check it out because it's really cool. I did start reading it, and it's like I don't know. You just get sucked in from the very first. So you know you don't want to stop reading. And the good news is about coming late to the party is that. I had a few chapters I could read right away. Anyway, let's hear some more music, and we'll be back to talk with y'all in a little bit. All right, let me make sure everything's ready to go. All right, here's a little bit of KJ Blues here on Something About the Women.
He talked to Katie and he left me in beauty. My baby called me Katie and he left me a mule to ride. Well, my baby called me Katie, left me a mule to ride. That train put on, I swung on the side. Crazy about that hard-headed man of mine. My baby's tall, you got a mighty, he's so baby, he's tall. You got a mighty, he's so fine. Well, my baby, he's long. My baby, he's tall. Sleeps in the kitchen with his big old feet out in the hall. Crazy about that hard-headed man of mine. Well, I love my daddy now. He's so come and see me sometime. You don't believe I love me with a hole I'm in. You got, I wish he'd come back again. Mm-hmm. sometime. You don't believe I love the widow hole I'm in. Good God, I wish he'd come back again. He caught the Katy and he left me a mule to ride. Well, my baby caught the Katy. Caught the Katy, left me a mule to ride. That train put on, I swung on beside. Crazy about that hard-headed man of mine.
Let us pause in life's pleasures and count its many tears while we all sup sorrow with the poor. There's a song that will linger forever in our ears. Oh, our times come again no more. It's a song. Sigh for the weary. Hard times come again no more. Many days you've lingered around my cabin door. Oh, hard times come again no more. Troubled waves. It's a wail that is heard across the shore. It's the dirge that is murmured around the lowly graves. Oh, hard times come again no more. It's the song.
been